this week we've got some great footage from Steve live in Vegas, which we'll make sure we include at the end, so watch through to the end. We'll talk about what we got wrong in our predictions for the season. What else are we going to see, Steve?
Mate, we're going to continue our spoon watch for Manly, and we're going to talk about some of the big clashes we've got coming up this week, especially the Panthers-Sharks game, mate.
Yeah, love it. So that's in the who's still shit section and who's actually going to be good. I think one of the things that's really clear is that we give it to the NRL and the referees, and we'll be really interested to see how that unfolds.
Yeah, it's a pretty cool episode, mate.
I'm Ian Hawkins, and this is Sport is Life. The purpose of sport, as I see it, is to see your vision become a reality. Find your voice, create strong connections, and learn to trust your body. Stephen, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good, thanks, Hawk. We finally got through our first round of rugby league, mate. So I made it back from Vegas. Watched plenty of football over the weekend. So it's good for everything to be full in the full swing of things.
Yeah, and you're looking really fresh, which is a far cry from some of the footage I saw out of Vegas the other week.
Yes, I did enjoy myself, mate. I held myself together pretty well until I got inside the stadium. A little bit of adrenaline, a bit of excitement took over. So, yeah, I'm sure we'll talk about Vegas as we go on with the show, mate.
We will, and we will. For those, they must stick around and see some of the footage that you recorded over there. Some pretty cool stuff, like out the front of Allegiant Stadium and then inside. And then, yes, we will have a bit of a laugh at your expense because some of the footage towards the end of the third game, well, yeah, we can't use that.
No, we can't use that, mate. Although I was polite and respectful.
Oh, absolutely.
By then.
A little bit. We'll save that for the blooper show.
Yeah, exactly.
Largely disappointing weekend of footy for me. Like, there was only one game I was, like, really stayed engaged with it for the whole match. It was, yeah, I actually got a bit bored at times and it was disappointing. I was all, you know, all pumped and got to watch most of every game, if not all. And, I don't know how you felt about it.
Yeah, well, obviously the two Vegas games feel like a lifetime ago now. They felt like 2 weeks ago, obviously. So we had one of them that was pretty close. Even the first game, the Knights-Cowboys, while the Knights were in total control, the Cowboys hung in there. But if you take that aside, to your point, Hawk, it's probably really only the Manly Raiders game that went either way. Obviously, it went to Golden Point, but all the others were pretty well convincing wins. You know, the Dolphins fall back a little bit against South after that flow of possession that went South's way early. But, to your point, mate, it was almost like shut the gates very early. We all knew who was going to win. So, they're going to have a look at that.
Yeah, let's before we go into each game, let's talk about why that might be. Now, you've got some actual stats, but just by watching it, you could tell that six again from the 20 to the 40 definitely had an impact of speeding up the game. And teams, like, some of the ruck defence was a product of that more than teams necessarily not defending. Well, there probably was an element of some teams a bit flat and clunky and getting used to new combinations. But when one team's dropping a heap of ball, which happened just about either for the whole of one game or for chunks where other teams came back in. So that was contributing, but the increase in the six agains and the penalties certainly, to me, was the biggest contributor. What do you reckon?
Yeah, no doubt, Hawk. You talk about stats. So between penalties and six agains, the last few years have averaged about 15 a game, pretty well locked in for the last 3 or 4 years. Only round one, but this year it was 21 in the first round. So you talk about another six. Well, it's one every 13 odd minutes. So had a huge impact in the game. You know, you talk about defences and a little bit of combinations. Traditionally, round one's all about defence. You know, there's low-scoring games. More of that St. George Canterbury sort of feel in game where attacks really haven't gelled, but, you know, teams have worked on defence for the off-season. This time around, the momentum just got a roll on, and, you know, look, we don't want to turn this into a referee bagathon, but the referees just seem to have so much influence on the games in round one, and that just resulted in not so much attacks gelling for mine, but just that little brilliance from one player. You know, you saw what Harry Grant did, you saw what the two Cronulla halves did, the Storm fullback, just that little bit of brilliance by themselves, because the middle forwards were just that fatigued after defending set after set after set. So once they get on a roll and they got possession, if they can, a team can hold on to it. You know, you talk about the six against the penalties. It was the 77th minute before the Dolphins got a penalty. Now,
what?
That's ridiculous, right? Yeah. So you talk about six against and penalties. So for the Dolphins to have hung in there and end up still scoring 30 points when they only had 40% of the ball, it just goes to show you, if you hold onto the football, you've got that momentum. They're going to keep giving you six against. They're going to keep giving you penalties. And if you can be on the right side of that 21 average six against penalties, then you just put yourself in a position to win. Doesn't matter who you're playing.
Yeah, exactly. If we look at that rule, the theory was they were bringing it in to try and manufacture closer results, but it's had the opposite effect, I reckon, and I think it will continue to do so, is that momentum will just be harder and harder to wrestle back.
Yeah, 100%. Rugby league, you know, I heard only on a radio show with during the week, rugby league's a shared possession game. You have the ball, try and score a try, I'm going to stop you, then I'm going to have the ball and I'm going to try and score a try and you stop me. Well, at the moment, it's just set after set after set until you score a try, and then you kick off and I get it back and I keep going again. So, the six agains tried to have this ball in play for the entertainment side of it. I just don't think that come the 78th minute when they want those close games, they're not going to get that. You know, there's always going to be one here or there, but they're going to just blow out, and you're going to blow out with some big scores. We saw some of those highly rated teams play other highly rated teams, and there were some big scores. Like Penrith played well, but not great. They pumped the Broncos. Pumped the Broncos. So there's a few flashing alarm bells round one. Traditionally, refs, when they get a new rule, they get all excited and go overboard. So let's see if they sort of reel it back a little bit, because there's plenty of media focus on how many it's happening. So it'll be interesting to see what happens in round two, because it's certainly going to favour a couple of teams over others.
Absolutely. I just think the fans of Para, Roosters, Titans, Broncos, what was the other blowout? Dolphins, even, like, they shouldn't be getting too disheartened, because it was all possession. Like, all of those teams, well, the ones that really got blown out of the water and a lopsided scoreline was all, they all had 60 to 67% completion rates, and it looks like that sort of possession is going to get exacerbated with the new rules. And then if we look at the Raiders in the first half, Manly should have been up by the same scores as the Sharks and the Storm were, but they just weren't that good and they couldn't take advantage of the rules. So I'm starting to lean towards what you said, that they will be ordinary, because Canberra just hung in there, and then even without getting an even share, they were close at half time. And I nearly messaged you. I'm like, I can't believe that Manly is still in this game. Yeah. And the fact that they were going to get beaten, and it looked like they were going to get well beaten, it was only for a late charge to sort of even it up, I was just thinking, mate, with the possession they had in the first, I think they had 11 from 11 to 1 from 2 was the completion rates.
Almost that first 10-minute block. I know Canberra made an error, maybe even two. That first 10 or 12-minute block was just all possession to Manly. Now, it doesn't matter how good you are, fatigue will get you, and 12 minutes of defending almost constantly, Manly going to score a few points. To your reference earlier, though, they didn't put them away. You know, we mentioned Manly, if they were going to come off the bottom of that ladder, they needed to get a few of these home games up early. So Canberra probably wasn't one they were banking on, but to be in that position they were in early, they had to go on with it, and they just couldn't. Canberra just stuck into it. You know, and you talk a couple of weeks earlier, you talk Dragons and Bulldogs as well. We mentioned the Bulldogs spine during our pre-season. You know, every 50-50, I know I'm a Dragons fan, but every 50-50 went the Bulldogs' way. Even the staunch Bulldogs fan will say that, and they only
definitely.
Worked up, you know, what is it, 14 points against the Dragons, whatever it was. So they played, St. George defended as well, defended extremely well. But that's another example, mate. So while there's certainly points out there, if you don't have the team to be able to put the ball over the line, you know, those strong defensive teams are going to hang you around.
It did feel like those two games were refereed very differently, almost to make sure they were close-ish, because it was a very different looking game from Thursday night onwards. So it remains to be seen. Form line's going to be so hard to pick.
Yeah, it will be. There's some interesting games this week. I know we'll talk about them later, but there's some interesting games this week where, you know, two teams that have had blowouts like Penrith Sharks are playing against each other, and then two teams that, you know, Dolphins Titans as an example. So it'll be interesting to see how they back up and what happens with the refereeing of the six against.
Yeah, well, I had Raiders in my elimination tip, and early on I'm like, oh, I still think we'll come back here. We all come back. I was well and truly on the bandwagon. And then nearly snatched away. But, yeah, it's every game you're looking at it and you're going, you can't confidently say, like most years you can go, it is the standout lopsided game. It's getting harder and harder to find those. So it'll be interesting to see how deep that elimination game goes, because every week's going to be a lottery until it sorts itself out a bit. Now, we talked about Manly being inconsistent during games, and it was exactly like that. Like they were just so dominant, and then again they start doing the same thing they do. They start passing it. They start sort of shuffling sideways, and they start passing behind their wingers, and all the same patterns are still there. And with a weaker list, yeah. Like I said, starting to lean more towards where you're heading. Just another thing we got right was. Well, that was probably one for me. And as a Para fan, Brian Kelly thought his defence was suspect, and mate, he was so bad. It was a couple of times. I don't know if you remember the game or two that Lomax started in the centres for Para at the start of last year, when he was just coming up and just getting no one. So he was neither sliding nor
and
that's exactly what it looked like. And a couple of times he sort of looked around and he's like, and I know he'll get used to the system, but man, he just looked completely at sea. Like,
yeah. Mate, he'd never been noted for his defence. Don't get me wrong, but I thought with that Titans defence, he sort of maybe got camouflaged a little bit. I didn't think he was as bad as what you gave it to him a little bit. But he was not in a good spot most of the night. Obviously, the Storm didn't make Parramatta look real crash hot across the whole park. But yeah, he's I don't know how long Riles. Obviously, they spent a bit of time.
He's dropped him. He's dropped him
already.
Okay. Well, yeah. So Addo Carr's back, and Russell goes back to the centre, which has got a much better defensive look to it.
Agree.
Yeah, and it's funny, people were talking about him being a big name signing. For me, he was always looked at. Well, I always looked at him as a depth signing, and he was good with the ball, and hopefully that, you know, Riles can get him defending better, because he's got plenty of those other guys defending better that you know, in my head, weren't great defenders. So we will see. Also, I think sort of key players make a difference. They've talked a lot about Addo Carr as a really good voice, and he's really smart footballer. Like, he understands defence really well and actually makes the whole defensive unit defend better. And I think that's going to be the case for a few different teams. So again, I just, like, as disappointing as that was when you're all excited for the start of the season to get absolutely pounded, I think it was just one of those games where momentum happens when you complete at 60%. Like, they just couldn't get it. Actually, at one point, Moses kicked out a yardage in the second half, and I suddenly went, I actually can't remember seeing that maybe once or twice in the first half, whereas usually that's just, you're just doing that for about 10, 11 sets in a row. They were either making breaks and bombing it, or they just weren't getting past the second tackle, or they were doing stupid fifth play options, or they were actually in the attacking zone and not been able to complete. So, yeah, it'd be interesting. Roosters, I think it's the same, mate. I think everyone's quick to jump on DCE. He wasn't good, and he wasn't good defensively, and we talked about that at the back end of last year, he wasn't.
Yep.
But it's round one. Like, you can't be... And again, they gave up more penalties than any team, penalties and six agains, and they just dropped the ball.
Yeah, 100%, mate. Obviously, everyone's comparing him to Cooper Cronk, like we discussed in the preseason. He's no Cooper Cronk, and he never will be. But the...
He's also five years older than Cronk was.
100%, mate. But even my point being, even Cooper Cronk took that first part of that first season to get going, right? You know, and we mentioned in the preseason, not to keep going over it, but Walker didn't play a lot of footy last year. He got the back end. So, look, there's a lot going on. They got a brand new hooker as well. So, there's a lot going on for the Roosters.
Little fella. The hooker
looked
good.
Yeah, correct, yeah. Well, yeah, he and I wasn't even making reference to him either. He's another one as well that came in at the last minute. So I've actually got them, I don't know what the market says, but I've got them knocking over South. As I said earlier, everything went South's way against the Dolphins, and they still let 30 on. So it'll be really, that's another really interesting game on the back of what we saw week one. But, yeah, I think DC is just going to take a little while. If he does... Father Time may have caught up with him, but we're going to see in the next few weeks. But if he does get going, I just think it's going to take him a little bit of time, mate, for the Roosters' spine just to gel and get working. I see they've changed their edge forwards this week. I caught a little bit of team this Tuesday before we hopped on. So that'll be an interesting little help. But, it'll be a big week for them this week, because they certainly wouldn't have been expecting that round one, that sort of performance. I mean, that being said, Hawk, I thought the Warriors were one of the more impressive teams for the weekend.
And one player that we said we weren't sure that he was up to it or not, Tanner Boyd, mate, he was so good.
Yeah, he genuinely was, mate. I've got him down as one of my three standouts for the week. Now, you think without Barnett, you think without Metcalf, they rolled up the sleeves and they got it done very impressively. So I think, we said the Warriors would be really tough to beat at home. I think they're going to be almost impossible to beat at home if round one's anything to go by, a long, long way to go. But I thought they were, you know, probably next to Penrith. Penrith, as I said, had got a bit in them and then the Storm. But I thought the Warriors were really, really good. And again, you talk about setting something up for next week. Two big packs, the Roosters and the Raiders and the Warriors coming head to head. Do not miss that. That'll be an absolute belter.
Will be really interesting to see how it goes, because the Raiders weren't good either. And again, I kept coming back to the Roosters when they hung onto the ball looked dangerous. But so good to see Billy Smith getting back-to-back games. They've got Rob Toyer back as well. Like you said, they've mixed up a bit of the back row. But I think they'll be real good this week. And as good as the Warriors were, was it a product again of the momentum, given that Roosters only completed at about 67% as well?
Yes, hold on. And Tanner Boyd, you know, is, you know, traditionally he's had that game in him, but what's kept him from being a regular first grade is that consistency. So can Boyd back that up against the Raiders? We'll see what happens. But he was very impressive week one, mate. No doubt about it, Tanner Boyd. He was in my top three.
Now, talking about impressive, you didn't see a heap of this game, but young Ethan Sanders for the Raiders, he just looks class. Every one of his touches just looks smooth. He just looked completely non-phased. And I was already like thinking, man, this kid can play, before he just calmly popped over the winning field goal from 35 and then didn't really even celebrate. I did hear somewhere, it might have been on Friday, this is before the game, I can't remember which show I was listening to, and whoever it was, one of the journos, they were saying everyone that you talk to around the Raiders are just that excited about him. You know, plenty of people have said they'll dip. I don't know. I think they will be top four again after what I saw on the weekend. Again, with no ball, and they still win that game.
Yeah, very impressive, mate. To your point, my beloved Norse Devils played round one, so I was at Bishop Park with a 4X gold in my hand, so I missed the Manly game, but all reports, and then I saw the highlights later. He just looked like a first grader, right? It looked like he had a little bit of class. And your point around his reaction around the field goal was almost like it was expected. So just that, not brash, but just that young confidence about, okay, well, we're a goal to point. I'm the halfback. I got to kick field goal here. Marshy's team down and did it. So, again, one round doesn't make a season or a career, but certainly just showed a couple of little things on the highlights I saw that he's got a little bit of class about him. And that pack is certainly going to be playing on the front foot. And you'd like to think, out of all the coaches in the NRL, Ricky Stewart wouldn't have made a wrong decision at halfback. So it's exciting to see, because we all know what he's got in the six outside of him. He's got some big, strong backs, and then that monster four pack. So it'll be really interesting, really hard road trip up to Manly, and then this week got to go to New Zealand. So that'll be a challenge for them, no doubt, especially, again, the younger fellas. But, pretty impressive first cab off the rank for the young fella.
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to head to another game. Broncos. Now, again, we've just talked a lot about momentum, and the Broncos didn't have a great deal of the ball. And maybe we're expecting too much to expect them to pick up where they left off. So maybe they'll be slow starters again, but they just didn't offer a great deal. Like, the Panthers rarely look troubled. Now, they defended well, absolutely, but I don't know. It's interesting to see, and the pressure's going to build quickly for them.
It will, mate. There was a couple of interesting things that come out of that game for me, and I don't know whether it's because it's in our head with all the media around Madge and how hard he trains them and all that. They just looked tired, right? They looked a little bit of a step or half a step behind Penrith, and while Penrith weren't great, Penrith looked ready. And the Broncos didn't. Now, sure, they've been to England World Club Challenge, but again, similar story. They looked half a step off behind the Pommies. So it's a little bit of interesting. The other one that, because of the Supercoach stuff I follow, and it'll be interesting to see if there's any patterns here around the six agains, but it's one of Hass's he didn't play the full amount of minutes he usually plays. Tino was another one who usually plays a little bit more. So is that round one and them just getting some legs minutes in the legs, or is there something here around the minutes because of the six agains and the penalties, etc.? So if that is the case and Hass doesn't play as many minutes as he normally does, Broncos could be in a little bit of strife because they rely so heavily on him to get that front foot. So then Walsh has got some time out the back, because Walsh was nowhere to be seen on the weekend. And you watch him out the back, it wasn't through lack of trying or through lack of effort, it was opportunity. So it's a little bit of an interesting one there, and seeing what impact. Is it just because it's round one and Hass will build into his minutes? Tino similar. There were a few other forwards that were a little bit down, but you probably chalk that up to round one. But if it's a case that that Hass isn't going to play his, 70-odd minutes, then it could have a bit of a dent on their meters. Corey Jensen's still, he's got a niggle. I know he's still getting game time, but he's got a bit of a niggle. So it'll be interesting to see what happens with that. But, yeah, the Broncos just didn't seem right to me. They were just a little bit off the pace.
Yeah, absolutely. That was kind of the sense I got too. But again, I think it's a product of that ruck speed. And I'm just thinking now, for the team that's dominant, their middles will stay fresh. But for the team that's on the back foot, they're going to, like, their six-man bench, I could see teams just rotating middles, because that's where teams just got completely killed, like straight up the middle. And, like, if they continue the rate they're going with the refereeing, there's going to be more of these embarrassing tries straight up the middle, because teams just can't defend. And I think that may have been something to do with them looking tired and flat. I actually at one point thought, after watching the other two games, the Thursday and the first Friday, that actually the Broncos were hanging in there pretty well, considering how much they were turning the ball over. And they were actually defending better than the other two teams did. So, again, let's just wait and see where we get these teams that have battled in the first week with at least an even share. but then also a dominant amount of possession. It's going to be a completely different game. It'll be really interesting to see. I mean, that's been the case for a few years now, possession, but it seems to be, again, I'm repeating myself, but it really was noticeable. Okay, anything else from the weekend's game that you wanted to mention, Steve? Harry Grant, he was unbelievable.
He was my number one for the weekend, mate. He was phenomenal. The one guy who I was super impressed with, believe it or not, before I got the old B goggles on, was Fletcher Sharp 2 weeks ago for Newcastle. He was phenomenal. We were behind Newcastle in the first half down that end, and he did not stop. He was on the ball consistently. So I actually think they got something in that spine the way they had it. Obviously, he's injured, so it'll be a bit of a wait for them. But he was really, really good. So I thought if he takes that little live wire role for them and then has Ponga and Brown at the back, it could be good for him. Look, they're not going to win the comp, but I thought he was really good. So definitely Grant, Sharp and Tanner Boyd for me. But yeah, look, everything we've said around the weekend, just let's hope it's not a trend. Let's hope it's just a anomaly and for the refs to be settling into the new rules, and we'll see what happens in round two.
Speed seems to be the order of the day, because it was noticeably different when Sharp went off. I will say that you could notice the difference in speed. Obviously, Sam Smith's not in the same class of speed. But as the game went on, I thought the Smith-Brown combination actually looked good. That's who they're going to have to go with this weekend. So, yeah, interesting. And it comes back to what we talked about in the preseason about Souths with even share of possession and their lack of speed. They might get a bit found out, because at times the Dolphins just, like, it looked like they were going to steam home to win that one, and then they started dropping the ball again.
Yeah, that's right. Well, as you said, 30 points with mid 40%, low 40% possession, didn't get a penalty the 77th minute, and they still scored 30 points. So, while South got the win and did well, they look good with the ball in hand. There's a little bit there, actually, so it'll be interesting to see how they go this weekend.
Yep. Roosters also had like an 11-2 penalty count against them. Now they've been. Always at the top of penalty counts, but that was crazy. It just doesn't seem, the games don't seem to have been that lopsided in terms of discipline, and yet this is how it's been refereed. So it will be really, really interesting. As you said, there's usually a correction from referees, so we'll see where it goes.
Yeah, spot on, mate.
Okay, this weekend, what do you like?
Oh, mate, I like that almost every game we go through them, almost every game's got something about it, something to take out of round one and something to have a look at, whether it's an individual player or whether it's the way the games are going to go with different forwards, with through the middle of the ruck, etc. So, you know, each game's got a little bit of a storyline to it, mate. So it's going to be a big weekend of footy, mate. I cannot wait.
Absolutely. So Bronx or Eels, one of those two teams will be winless. Yep. Tigers and Cowboys will be the same. The rest of the teams, I went for my elimination team. I went the Dolphins because I just thought they were not great, and they still nearly won. So yeah. You would expect them to win up there, but again, who knows? When the Titans hang onto the ball, who knows? Some great stories. We'd already talked about the Warriors, Raiders, the two big forward packs going head-to-head, Roosters, Rabbitohs. It's always a grudge match. I'm really looking forward to seeing the Tigers. If they're as good as I reckon they can be, they could beat the Cowboys by 1,000.
Yeah, I agree. It's strange. By not playing, the Tigers sort of went up my power ranking, so to speak. Believe it or not, because there's a few teams like the Cows. Look, the Cowboys didn't look good. I know Drinkwater got injured. He had a rib cartilage very early in the first half, but they just didn't look like they had anything in the middle. They weren't making ground. So if the Tigers come out and show us what they've got. You know, there's some clips of Benji going around at the moment with addressing the players around, letting them know that there's standards in place and that, you know, the world's changed over there at Leichhardt. So it's exciting for the Tigers. If you're a Tigers fan, you would have been just busting to see your team play sitting through 2 weeks of footy. Yeah. So, yeah, look, I've certainly got them above the cows. Like Cart, Tigers, Cowboys usually produces some sort of mythical game that who knows what's going to happen. Yeah. But, yeah, I think they've got them. It'll be really interesting. You know, you talk about DCE getting a little bit older. Appy will have the ability to cut teams apart through the middle if he's still got that little bit of a spring in his step. So it'll be interesting on the back of May up front. If he's fully fit, he spent a bit of time in hospital last week. If he's fully fit and he gets those quick play of the balls, I think Appy could really carve some teams apart. So Reid Mahoney will have his hands full trying to keep Appy under control there. But it's an exciting game, mate. So, yeah, hopefully for the Tigers fans, they get the win. And I'm sure there's a few Cowboys fans that have done a lot of travelling over the last fortnight. They'll be busting for a win themselves. So I've probably got the Tigers winning that one, though, mate. How do you see it?
Yeah, well, winning and winning well. It just reminded me something that you talked about. You talked about a few plotters out there. You didn't think we were going to have great years, and Matt Lodge certainly lived up to that in Vegas. But another one, I thought Jack DeBellin might have a better crack, but, mate, he was awful. He five missed tackles in his first stint. Just look, can you... You just got to hope it's putting it down to a new system or something, but expected more and just, yeah.
Yeah, I think the plotters that we spoke about, I think they're going to be shown up even more than we thought because, you know, we made those sort of comments and those decisions before we knew what these six agains were going to have and how the referees were going to make them. They're going to be in all sorts of trouble. Can you imagine what a Harry Grant's going to do to the Cowboys?
Mm-hmm.
Down in Melbourne one afternoon, like it will be an absolute bloodbath. So, I think the plotters in the game, and you saw a lot of the, you know, we spoke about a lot of the front rowers, the middle forwards dropping a lot of weight over the off season because they sort of knew what was coming a little bit more than what we did. But the Matt Lodgers of the world, unfortunately, it is the Mackay Cutters or Super League for those players these days, mate. It just is what it is.
Yeah, I think so. Looking at the rest of the games, they all look like they potentially could be pretty tight.
Yep.
I think the Dragons will go well against the Storm. They always seem to. If they defend as well as they did the other day, then it'll be interesting to see how good the Storm's attack is.
Yep.
Everyone's talked about the Storm perhaps being the most vulnerable, and we'd even talked about the back row. Mate, their young back row, they were enormous. Enormous. Yeah,
very impressive, weren't they? Yeah. Look, everything, and look, full credit to Storm. They were, the reason everything went their way is because the way they played the game, right? But they were just on the front foot. And you saw Joe Chan especially on that right. When he scored the try, he just grew again in confidence. Yeah. He just, like, the next 10, 15 minutes after that try, he grew another leg. So, look, I'm the Dragons won't go away. They'll keep trying. But I've... I don't have a lot of hope in containing, you know, Grant. The way, again, you know, we talk about it, and it looks like the Knights, certainly Cronulla started playing it last year. It looks like the Knights might be trying to do it with Sharp, that 3-4-back and having the focal point of the attack being the hooker. I'm a little bit worried about the Drags just being able to hang on. You know, they'll do their best, but I think the Storm just got a little bit too much class off what we saw last week.
They're going to throw a bit more at him than the Bulldogs did for sure. And Jerome Hughes was quiet. Well, it's harder than that. I mean, he was just good, mate. Oh yeah, what about Joe Chan? Gee, give it to Pezzett too. Like, I'm sure they're good mates. Forced the turnover. I noticed a few fans going, look at these guys. Like, nah, when it's your team and you're winning, you love it. But when it's your team and you're getting beat.
How's Pezzett, buddy? Round one, he's up against the Storm, his old team. Round two, he's playing against the Broncos, who he's got, and they've already come out. I don't know whether you got it down in the Sydney media, but the Broncos players have already come out and said that they're going to target him and rough him up. So poor old Pezzett may never make round three. We'll see how he goes. But the big one for me, mate, is the Panthers Sharks. I thought both teams were impressive with plenty of improvement to make. It's probably the first time in a long time we've seen both halves of Cronulla have that standout game together. It's usually one or the other. So how do you see that one going down, mate? Because I think it could be a cracking game of footy.
Well, what we will know is we'll know where the Sharks are at, because the Panthers were super impressive. They tend to always complete high, and even when they don't, they seem to hang in there, like we talked about with the Raiders against Manly. We might have to rethink our top eights too, because I've found the Sharks hard to watch at different times, but they actually looked pretty sharp and they looked entertaining, and as you said, the halves played well.
Yeah.
I'm looking forward to this one. I just hope both teams play well, because I was, again, I mentioned at the start, I was so disappointed. Like, you sit down, you're looking forward to these games, and they were just blowouts. And you know, we wanted to see how the Titans would go, because they had impressive preseason. It reminded me a little bit of Para last year. They looked really sharp in the preseason, new system. People were talking them up, and then they just got blown out of the water for the first month. And I just hope the Titans don't do the same. But you can also see it happening, given new systems under pressure. Under fatigue, new systems tend to, you know, people, you know, lack of oxygen to the brain, people start making different decisions, they default back to old ways. You can see it been a tough old month or two for the Titans while they sort of embed the new stuff. Which is why I've gone with the Dolphins in the elimination, but just hopefully those games are good. The Seagulls Knights should be a good one. Both of those teams we've talked about being in that bottom three, so bottom four. So,
well, you talk. You know, we mentioned Penrith's hard draw early. If they scalp the Broncos and then Sharks early, it's a big deal. Vice versa, if Manly go down to Canberra and Newcastle at home for their first two games, they're in for a wicked ride. You know, I was pretty vocal about them winning the spoon. Fletcher Sharp was in the night side, that'd be a lock. Right now I can't pick between the two. Who knows what they're going to dish up, but if Manly go down two in a row both at home, it's done. I called it before a ball was kicked, but this is a monster game for Manly. They would have felt like they had the Raiders game won from what I saw in the highlights, and Canberra just keep coming back. So, and the Knights, mate, the Knights were pretty impressive. You know, Trey Mooney, we gave him a shout-out pre-season. He was really strong. He's going to build into some more minutes. Ponga looked pretty fit, and he was pretty mobile. And then Brown's only going to keep getting better as he gets to know the rest of the players. So certainly fullback v fullback in that game, Ponga and Turbo is going to have their team's destiny in their hands. But, if Manly go down here, the last of the wheels will fall off the cart round two.
It'd be interesting to see how the teams back up from Vegas. We know the Warriors last year were awful in Vegas, came back and were really good the next week. I actually can't really remember how the other teams backed up, but I guess it'll be unique to every team, because it's been a two-week block, but it certainly had to take its toll, because it's not just the travel and the jet lag and all those things, but, you know, players likening it to a grand final build-up with all the things going on, and how many adrenal fatigue from just being completely up all the time for that week. It'd be interesting to see how they go. I liked the Knights a lot. I actually was pleasantly surprised. My old man's from Newcastle, so they're kind of like, not, I'd never say I have a second team, but I do like seeing them go well. I still probably lean towards the Eagles on Sunday arvo at Brookie. So yeah, we will see. All right, what else have we got? We've got a couple of comments about Gary. What do we have? Platinum Pat. I don't know where he's coming up with that name. DCE turned out for a new club and played like shit. Missed a few tackles, he did. What mental challenges did he face? How hard would it be to put on a different jumper and play at that level, considering how long he played for Manly? I don't know. I think the professional athletes, I don't think the jumper would have an impact so much. Like, I think it's more of what we talked about before. It's just combinations and still human. Like, you know, it's like going to a new workplace, and I know they've all been working together in the preseason for a fair while, but there's nothing like actually going into battle and then being able to get along. And it only takes one or two little things, not feeling comfortable from that connection piece, to have a negative effect on your game. To me, mentally, he's really strong because he's always been one of those players that seems to have been picked on. I think he'll be fine, and I think they'll go well. It's just whether his body's up to it and whether he can put his body in front, you know, get his shoulder into it and actually make those tackles. I don't know what your thoughts are, mate.
Yeah, I mean, look, he played solidly last year, but he wasn't certainly setting the world on fire last year either, right? So I don't think I think it's probably a little bit too early to put up the flag for him. I think he's got to see out the first few weeks. As I said, it took Cooper Cronk a little while to get going, and Cooper Cronk had a few more around him than DC does. They're a decent side, the Roosters, but they were red hot that first year Cooper Cronk was there. So yeah, look, I'm with you, mate. It's an interesting one. He mentions the mental approach to it. To your point, he's been put through the ringer over the years, from the Titans backflip to some of the Origin stuff he copped. So yeah, you would think he'd be pretty mentally strong. But, you know, there's also some expectations. And, you know, as the media continues to grow, is he too old? It'd be interesting to see, and we'll never know, but it'd be interesting to see if any self-doubt does creep in. But, look, the next few weeks are big. I think Walker seems to be hitting the ground running the way he started the season. So we'll see what happens with DC this week against the Rabbitohs.
Yeah, it's a good point around what you just mentioned there about DCE. He has put up with a lot of stuff, but Manly fans were always really forgiving. Even when he signed, or he was saying he'd left, you know, they all actually got behind him even more at Brookie. But if things start to go awry for the Roosters, they won't be so friendly.
No, definitely not.
It would be very interesting. But, definitely. Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned the Queensland thing, because he seemed to be on the outer, not just with the supporters, but the players. And to come back strong and then have such a huge career and obviously earn that respect, I don't think mentally will be a problem for him, but yeah, we will see. Queenslander Kath, what characteristics does Bellamy have that enables him to be successful at one club for so long? Even the great Bennett did not survive at one club. Well, Bellamy and Bennett differentiate in this way. Bellamy's got a very particular sort of player he wants, particular sort of character he wants, and he just won't budge on that. And if you don't fit that, you moved on, and actually that was probably at the start, but then since then he just doesn't employ people who don't fit the mold of the sort of player he wants. Whereas Bennett, history will show that he's won with high quality teams. When he's gone to teams that haven't been the best list, well, that hasn't been the case. And I think the Broncos probably had the teams when he started to fall out of favour with the club probably weren't at the level that he'd had with previous clubs. I mean, that Dragons team was ready to win. You look at those Broncos teams of the 90s and the late 90s, early 2000s, they were full of internationals and Origin players all over the place. We haven't seen that consistent success. But the other thing is that what Bennett does differently is he's more like, well, he can connect with any player. That's something that he does probably better than any other coach. He knows how to find whatever drives them and get the best out of them. And if they can't be better characters, then he still moves them on. But that's more of a turnover that's pretty normal for most clubs, right? I just think it's a quite a different philosophy how they approach things. So it is massive, like 24 round one wins in a row for Bellamy. The fact that they've been in the eight every one of those 24 years as well, mostly in the four, unbelievable.
Yeah, I think that round one statistic, I think, reflects listening to what you mentioned there. It's that preparation and the planning. So not only to get round one ready and get round one right, but even back into that recruitment phase, to your point, getting that right style of person to fit in culturally down in Melbourne. It's a very different place. You need to make sure you gel with the team. You need to make sure that, you know, wives and girlfriends are gelling with everyone, where, you know, Bennett doesn't really need to have that right fit down there. He's been able to have, you know, Brisbane and Sydney, obviously, predominantly where he's coached, have been able to pick and choose as he's gone. And they've played different styles of footy. You talk about the Broncos in the 90s to the compy one at St. George, and now even the way they're playing with South now, they've all three of them are very different styles. So that planning and preparation from Bellamy certainly, and the Storm organisation certainly sets them apart. There's no question.
Yeah, absolutely. What else, mate?
That's about it, mate. I think, as I said to you, I think this weekend will be really interesting with a few teams. You know, we talk about that power ranking. I got both Penrith and Sharks in that top four of performances last week. So for them to come up against each other is going to be really big. And then just to see if this is going to play out the way it does. You know, there's a lot of things now falling into place about what the NRL did at the start of the year with changes to the interchange. A lot of middle forwards are losing weight, the six agains, et cetera, et cetera. So if this is what rugby league looks like moving forward in the NRL, it'll be interesting. We'll certainly ruffle some feathers with some of the supporter bases, mate. So big weekend of footy to watch and see how we go.
One more thing I wanted to mention. There were some absolutely confusing calls from referees at different times where, and again, the inconsistencies already crept in. We, you know, they referenced that Stephen Crichton head high that just got nothing. We see some things since then that seem minor in comparison. Like, I still does my head in where a defender holds their ground and an attacker falls into their shoulder and they're getting put in the sin bin and then getting suspended. Like, I just don't know where you can go from there. Like, duty of care, but like,
yeah. Whereas I'm with you, mate. You talk about the duty of care in that example. Well, Crichton was the absolute opposite to that. So Setu's taken a ball. Mm. He's the most vulnerable you will be on a football field is when you're taking a ball.
100%. And he went after him.
Kemakazi tried to take his head off. So, yeah I'm the – and if the NRL say that that's a right decision by the referee, then the rule's wrong. Right, it's like the Couchman rake, you know, that got brought up almost every game of football. Oh, that's another rake like the Couchman rake. Well, if that's what they're saying is not a rake or it is a rake, the rules are wrong. Does that make sense to you? So,
yeah, mate,
I think there's a lot of things at the moment that the scrutiny is going to be on the referees, and it shouldn't be. Right, the game's in a huge spot at the moment, but these inconsistencies, and now they're opening themselves up to a lot of feedback and a lot of controversy around the six agains, because there's not a lot of accountability. 9 times out of 10, you don't even know what they're for. So it's, they need to watch themselves, mate, or they're going to go down the spiral real quick with the fan base.
Yeah, I think they actually got the strips right over the weekend. I think the Couchman one was a mistake, and there's no point comparing to something that was clearly a wrong decision. I don't know anyone who's said that was right. But I think they got it mostly wrong. I don't like this idea if they're just tackling him and then maybe the arm falls off across the ball. Like, they were pretty good at calling those loose carries. There's a difference between, like, them brushing against the ball while they're trying to make a tackle and actually getting their hand in there and ripping it. And I think they got that mostly right. There was a few knock-ons in games where they weren't challenged. The game was already decided. And I was like, they're just playing wrong, especially from kicks. Where they've just jumped in and there was a few of them, like, to me, the naked eye, straight away you could see that the defender got a touch or the attacker got a touch before, but they called it the other way and then they carry on and they show a replay. Even the commentators kind of glossed over it. And it's like, hang on a sec, if this was a close game, that was actually a really crucial error. That was the part that I personally noticed, and I found that really frustrating. It's I don't know where you go, but yeah. Oh, I tell you what I did like. Yeah. I did like they started calling some forward passes from dummy half.
Oh, yeah.
Because some games are just forward all the time.
Yep.
And
I agree with that. Yeah, you're certainly going to keep getting frustrated, mate. Look, at the end of the day, there'll be human error, but the inconsistencies are the big one. But don't, you know, playing devil's advocate, mate, don't underestimate the fact that some of the commentators won't call or go too harsh on the referees, right? So I guess that's why we're watching it and giving our opinion. But it'll be very highly scrutinised this weekend. I think the stats are already coming out around six agains, etc. And if it starts to have an impact on certain players being on the field for longer or being more fatigued, I don't know whether it's going to accomplish what they want it to accomplish. If teams are going to start winning, you know, 50-10, it's going to have the opposite appeal to what they're trying to have, mate.
Yeah, no, you're fair call. There's definitely some people in the commentary and the journalistic field that are making some calls that are very much in favour of whoever they're aligned with at the time. And again, that's the feedback I've got from us is that they like the fact that we're just calling it as it is. So we will keep having strong opinions and give people an alternative to the sometimes manufactured responses. So
yeah, spot on, buddy.
Mate, we will go, but for those who are listening and watching, they'll get a little bit of the your trip to Vegas. If you're listening, it's well worth jumping on and having a look at one excited, as you said. I'm just a kid from Sefton, a bit excited before you were going into the stadium. Some pretty cool footage. I really enjoyed watching it, and maybe we'll save up some of those other videos for the bloopers as well.
Yeah, happy for the first couple to go up on socials, mate. But by the end of the evening, while I was still doing my best, you may not be able to understand what I was saying to you all. I did enjoy myself at the footy.
Gave me a good laugh anyway. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, buddy.
Now, most likely we're going to be playing this after the event, but we just wanted to do a quick one with Steve while he's out the front of Allegiant Stadium in Vegas, mate. What a buzz.
Yeah, Liga's life has hit Las Vegas, Hawk. Out the front of Allegiant Stadium, ready to go in now. The two Pommy teams kicked off. They're about at halftime as we speak. We're about to head in and see Mighty Dragons take on the Bulldogs and the Cowboys and the Knights. So bloody excited. The fans over here have been absolutely phenomenal. They've taken over Fremont Street on Thursday night. Estimations have it at 16,000, and it was just jam-packed with a shoehorn. Every casino you walk through, you see Canterbury jerseys, Dragons jerseys, the whole box and dice. So the atmosphere the whole week since we arrived on Tuesday has just been amazing. Everyone's in good spirits and just can't wait for the footy. It's really been pretty cool.
How good. And unlike when you're back at home, the fans have all actually been together and supporting each other almost.
Yeah, it has been. You can feel, even the English supporters, it's been feel like a really good community atmosphere. You know, you can obviously tell the Aussies and the Pommies as you're walking past. They're all in their jerseys. Everyone's had their fan gear on from the moment we took off in Brisbane all the way through Sydney Airport the whole way. So you're always giving them a nod and a wink, and everyone's asking where you got that hat from, or, you know, where did you get that supporter shirt from? So it's really been a good experience. As I said, there's everywhere you've looked, there's been rugby league supporters. Everyone's really excited about today's game and can't wait.
How good, mate. And Fremont Street, mate, that's one of the things that when I've watched it in previous years just looks like something that would be an awesome to be part of. Like, what was that experience like? It was going crazy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, it's nothing I've seen. I've been a rugby league supporter, watched it, played it, coached it, done the whole lot, and I've never seen anything like that before. So it was just shoehorn sort of material, 5-6 deep, and just going wild for the players. The players themselves in interviews were saying, you know, a lot of them haven't experienced anything like it as well. So certainly something to remember. Again, all in good spirits. Everyone's just there having a cracking time. So I think that for a lot of the teams was the last bit of fun, so to speak. A lot of interviews and people we've been talking to, you know, they've seemed to dial it in after that. There was the captain's run for all the teams yesterday where they got out in Allegiant Stadium. I'm sure everyone would have seen some of the highlights now. Matty Burton putting up some of those bombs and Val trying to put them over from the sideline. So I think Fremont Street for the players as much as the fans was one of those cool experiences where they can really, you know, let their hair down and experience something that no one's ever seen before.
Yeah, crazy, mate. You must have had the best week. I'm going to let you go because I know that your group is letting you waiting for you so you can get in there.
Yeah.
If you get a chance, hit record while you're in the stadium and do some little videos there, and we'll try and package that up with this as well.
Will do, mate. Heading for a Galo pie, a Budweiser and a Dragons win.
Outstanding. Good luck, mate. Have a great time.
Cheers, Hawk. Bye, mate.
See you, Steve. Bye.
Hey, Stephen, you're about to do your first podcast live from Vegas for League is Life podcast. How are you feeling?
Pretty nervous, truth be told. This is Allegiant Stadium, Las Vegas. I'm just a little kid from Sefton, but we'll do our best.
Sounds awesome. Just waiting for Hawk to come online. It's going to be a great time today at the game. What are you looking forward to most?
I'm looking forward to a Dragons win, especially over the Bulldogs. How good does it get?
Yeah, and you're going to get yourself one of those Galo's pies?
There's 50,000 of them, so I'm sure I'll be able to snag one or two.
Good job, Steve. Good luck with St. George, and I hope my Cowboys get up too. Woo!
Cheers.
Well, that's the end of the Pommy game. The Rhinos were just too good for the Hull. You've got to feel a bit sorry for Hull. They went through the club champs. They just weren't quite up to it today. The Parramatta combo of Sivo and Brad Arthur got the job done. Sivo with 4. Brody Croft, ex-Bronco player, got 2 and played really good footy. Well done. Let's get on to the real NRL now and see how we go.
Well, half-time in the first game, 12-all. Fletcher Sharp's injury's been massive for the Knights. He was one of their best players early. Let's see what happens in the second half. Good news is for the Dragons. I've run into fan favourite of League's life, Elsie from Greenacre, and he is absolutely guaranteed the Dragons will win against the Bulldogs. Let's see what happens. That's the end of the first game, and what a win by the Newcastle Knights. An upset. Unbelievable scenes. The Newcastle fans have gone berserk. Can't wait to see what happens in the fallout for the Cowboys. The coach has already got Aiken on the rack. This will hurt. Looks like Drinkwater could have an injury as well. Let's see what happens in the next couple of days. Now we're on to the Dragons and the Bulldogs. Let's get the win, Drags. Good news is, 5 minutes after the game, I've already had a Newcastle fan tell me that they're leading the comp. God bless the boys from the Hunter. They love it. Well done. They earned it. Great win. Worried about Todd Payton and his coaching for the new year, but good idea from the Hunter.
You've taken the time to listen to this whole episode. Now it's time to take action. Commit to one thing you've learned today and make it happen. And to avoid any obstructions, join the Sport is Life movement by clicking on the link in the show notes.